Last couple of verses in that chapter, we'll finish up today. There's four verses that conclude this letter, and I believe it provides an excellent grounding for all that we're doing this morning. And we want to base all that we do upon the Word of God. So the final four verses, verses 21 through 23, or 24, I'll just read those and then just offer a couple of observations as we move forward. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and following. "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and the love from faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love that is incorruptible." So the first couple of verses, 21 and 22, particularly jump out at me because we get a little hint of who Paul is. First of all, we realize he could say a whole lot more than he has written. He's got a whole lot more in his heart that he wants to communicate than he's able to write. And so he's overflowing with a desire for the Ephesians to know everything that's happening in his life. This is moving beyond simply communicating God's word. He wants them to know everything. And he doesn't have time to write it. He doesn't have the space to write it. And yet he wrote the important things, but there's much more to share. Now he sends Tychicus then to explain what's happening. So one observation, I'm glad he wrote the letter. We have the letter. We don't have what Tychicus shared. We don't have the verbal information that was given. But we do have a written letter. Thank God it has endured and been passed down to us, and so that we ourselves can be encouraged by all that God has done and all that Paul wrote. But you see the personal nature of Paul's desire for ministry. I'm quite sure Paul would have rather been there in person in order to share with them all that has happened than simply send a letter. Maybe you ever like that. We send a lot of times written communication, but we'd rather be there in person. I'd rather look you in the eye. I would rather, when Darren sent the text, wouldn't you have rather seen the ugh in the face or the grief rather than just write it out? We write out what we're feeling and what our emotions are because we're trying our best to communicate over a distance. Paul doesn't have that option. So what does he do? He said, "I'm sending Tychicus to you because I want him to tell you everything." That's essentially what we're doing today. In our concluding annual meeting of the year, we want to tell you everything, which can be weary because you hear a lot of information and it's hard to keep track of it all. That's why we wrote a lot, and I would commend you to the back table here. There's one table here. There's a table in the lobby. There's a lot of written information because we know we don't retain everything we hear, at least not actively. And so we've written much that you can go home and read. There's an annual report I would commend to you. Please read it. We want you to be able to remember and recall all that God has done because we do forget. How many of you remember the good things that God has done for you this past week? We might remember the big things, but we forget the little things. How many of you have prayed this week for, "God, I'm going into this meeting. Can you help me?" And you get helped. And when you're going out the door, if you remember to say thank you, you've forgotten it 20 minutes later. Sometimes I lay down at night and I think through the day and I'm like, "Wow, I never said thank you for that." But yet here, we want to retain what God has done. We want to remember. Paul is saying, "I have written you some things, and I am sending somebody to you to tell you everything." So this is foundation for what we're doing today. By telling you all that's happened over the year, the past year, we're celebrating all that God has done, and we're looking forward to a new year. So I'm going to tell you a few things that I'm hopeful about and looking forward to coming up. But I want you to see there's a good biblical reason for doing what we're doing and not spending the time that we normally do. But Paul says one thing in verse 21 that jumps out at me. He says, "When Tychicus comes, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord," this is the last part of that, "to tell you everything." Verse 22, "I've sent him for this purpose so that you can know how we are and that you may be encouraged in your hearts. I pray that today you will go home encouraged. If not from all the information that we've shared, if not from recounting all of the good things that God has done, perhaps then by looking out forward to what we hope He might do, if that doesn't work, maybe the food will take care of you. But we want you to be encouraged. My prayer today is that this is not a business meeting. This is a way for you to be encouraged by hearing what the Lord has done, by learning what He's done, and also by expectantly praying into what this upcoming year will look like. Because how many of you need encouragement? How many of us had a bad week? We had a challenge. We run into difficulties. We need a place for our hearts to be encouraged, don't we? Maybe this morning you're coming into church and you're on your way here, and as the enemy often does, he throws something at you. Sometimes he uses your husband or your wife or some guy who doesn't know how to drive or what. The Lord, Satan always can throw in a wrench to get you discouraged and off balance just before you come to worship together, right? And yet when we come together, how many of you, as you praise God, as you sing, you're able to just let it go. You got a cup of coffee. You just forget everything and just worship the Lord. We're called and invited to lay our burdens down at the Lord's feet so that we may be encouraged. That's part of the coming together, is realizing God does answer prayers. He can hear what's going on. He does change aching feet and lifestyles that are difficult. He can bring about change in relationships. So all of this, I pray, would be an encouragement for you. That's what Paul is saying. I have sent Tychicus to you. I'm sending someone to you. Which it was about 1,000 miles. Remember, Paul is writing this in Rome. He's writing to the Ephesians. It's about 1,000-mile trip. It's over 1,000 miles to get there. In the first century, that would have taken months. How many of you on foot are ready to set off with a letter in your leather pouch and a granola bar and go to Ephesus 1,000 miles away so that you can encourage them? That's what Tychicus was up to. Paul trusted him. He gave him a copy of his letter and he said, go be a blessing to them. And you know what? One day we'll get to meet Tychicus. I wonder what kind of guy he's like. Quite a fella to be willing to set off on 1,000-mile trek so he can encourage the people of God. But this is what happens. This is what Paul was up to. And in the end, he says, I pray that you know the peace and the love of God the Father. Does anybody need a little peace and love from God the Father? And he says, I pray a blessing upon all of you who love the Lord Jesus with a love that is incorruptible. I think that essentially sums up what we're doing at Hope Christian Church. We're trying to help you fall in love with Jesus in everything we do. We're not just meeting here because we have nothing better to do. We're not just gathering together because it's a cool club. Our striving here in all of our ministry, in all of our singing, in musicians who lead and play and having coffee out, in everything that we do on a Sunday morning, we're trying to create an environment where everybody who comes into this place can experience the presence of God and fall a little bit more in love with Jesus. That's what we're shooting for. If you don't love Him, you don't know Him in this room, I pray your heart would change over this next coming year. But that's what we're up to. We're trying to help everybody fall in love with Jesus. If you're 2 years old or 120 years old, we want you to love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. So I have a few things that I would like to share with you as we sort of look out for what does the next year hold that can be means by which you can learn to fall more deeply in love with Jesus. And the first thing that came to my mind as I look forward to an encouragement of the next year is prayer. We need to be a people who are a praying church. Not just, we don't want to occasionally pray here and there, but we want to have a spirit of prayer that permeates everything we do. Because we know without the Lord, what? What does the Bible say? Without me, you can do nothing. We want the anointing of the Lord. That's why we prayed over Emmanuel and Bianca. That's why we pray at services. That's why we pray for one another. because we know that God chooses to move through the prayers of his people. So we have events and opportunities throughout the week for you to pray. On Tuesday nights at 7:30, we gather to pray downstairs. Come. You don't have to come every time. Ian said this morning, you know, what if 5% of this church only came once a month? That'd be an incredible change in the dynamic of our time together in prayer. So come once every 2 months or whenever you can. Just come and pray. That's an opportunity to pray. It's not an obligation. Don't hear it as an obligation. It's an opportunity. Tuesday nights at 7:30, every Sunday morning at 8:15, that prayer room is open to come and pray. We encourage people to pray, both for this church, for yourself. If you want to just go and sit in there and be quiet, you can. But prayer, we want to be a part of everything that we do. And so also this year, we, as we do every year, we try to give opportunities for a 24-hour prayer watch where we have people in this building praying around the clock from, 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. the next day. So two opportunities coming up this year. One, the first one is in November 6 to 7, and then the other one will be next year in March 18 and 19. And that's where you sign up for a one-hour prayer block. We have three different rooms you can pray in, one downstairs, one back corner, and this prayer room here. And it's totally quiet. We ask for this to be a kind of sacred space where we dedicate time to praying and invite you to join us in keeping prayer around the clock. Those are opportunities for prayer. I get excited about that because sometimes the Lord does some mighty things when his people pray. Sometimes. Question is, do we believe it enough to ask for mighty things? We have a mighty God who chooses to work through the prayers of his people. And I got to thinking, think about all the miracles in Scripture, all of the wonderful things that have happened in Scripture, the mighty works of God. They were all preceded by prayer. The most significant event in the history of Israel, the deliverance out of Egypt, you know the people were crying out to God before he came and set them free. Right? When God comes to Moses and he says, what? I have heard the cry of my people. Again and again, the mighty works of God are preceded by earnest prayer. And I pray we will be a praying church this coming year. There's some other things that I'm excited about. I just thank God for the deacons. Gavin and Michelle and Dave and Sandy and Gail and Tom and Russ and Carol are off to California. Who knows, we might have two more soon. But I thank you. I thank God for bringing all of you guys here and serving the ways that you are. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord will do this coming year. Please keep these folks in prayer as they settle into this new role. But there are three opportunities that I would like to encourage you to think about this coming year. We have three classes that we are going to offer at the 9 o'clock hour on Sunday mornings. There are opportunities for you to grow and be enriched. The first one will be taught by Paul Ananth and David Gonzalez and Ian Whitfield, all sort of team teaching. It's called Just Walk Across the Room. The intention of this opportunity is to equip you to more naturally be able to share Christ in your daily relationships, at work, with your neighbors, with family members. We want it to be a kind of a practicum on sharing your faith. It's called Just Walk Across the Room, and the reason for the title is to encourage you to not stay silent, not to stay where you're comfortable, but to get up, move into a place you're not so comfortable so that you can begin to share the gospel with folks. So that's 9 o'clock. And those three will be sort of rotating and teaching that. That'll be downstairs. And again, all of this will be in your booklets. But I want you to begin to think about which one you might jump in on. The second one, I will be teaching something called 20 Basics Every Christian Should Know. The intention is to shore up or firm up the foundations of your faith. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9 says this, "If you are not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all." Did anybody need a little firming up of your faith? Then this is the class for you. There's 20 things that we need to be grounded on, and we're going to take a couple of weeks to go through them. And I'd love for you to think about coming. If you're a new Christian, if you're investigating Christianity, if you're not sure what this is all about, be a great one to come to. And I promise we'll have coffee. I can't promise donuts, but I promise we can get some coffee. The third one is called Listening to God's Word. And Andy Mills is going to be facilitating this in the conference room back, I think, or where did we say Andy's going to be? Okay, out here in the front room. So this classroom in the front. He's just going to come, read God's Word for about 40 minutes, and then discuss it for about 10. Because there is power in the Word of God. Moses said in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, God's Word is your very life. The book of Hebrews says that God's Word is living and active. And so an example of what this class will be like is Andy would read through the entire letter of the Ephesians in 15, 20 minutes, whatever it takes. Just read through the whole letter, one go, as it was intended to be written. And then we'll have a few minutes to reflect on that. So he's reading Scripture, listening while one person reads, and then have a few minutes to discuss it. So it's primarily listening to the Scripture being read. That's all it is. But God's Word is powerful. So, curious? I would like to be able to participate in that. But that's what Andy will be teaching. So those are three opportunities for you to grow in your faith this year. And I don't think there's a one of us in this room who would say, I've already arrived. I've been a Christian 45 years. There's no more room for spiritual growth in me, so I don't need any of those classes. Not true, is it? Of course not. Please come. Think about one of those classes. And especially come next week, and you'll get to hear some more details. Come at 9 o'clock next week, and you'll get to hear some more details about that. Looking forward to this year, some things that I'd like you to pray into for regarding Emmanuel. We've already been dreaming about some mission trips, possibly a mission trip for the youth, a sports camp. We're already thinking and praying about sports camp. Be alert for that. And keep him in prayer that God would use him to lay a firm foundation for the next generation. I ask you to earnestly commit to him to prayer. And some other things related to outreach. We are going to share in a little bit more detail in just a few minutes about the building renovation plan. And in my mind, the reason for that is that this space would be a welcome space for those who have not yet been introduced to Jesus, and that this would be a place where people could come and have a sense of encountering God's presence by being blessed and welcomed. We desire to grow in our hospitality ministry, in our welcoming of strangers. We want this building to be as welcoming as possible. And it has been about 18 years since we've done anything to this building. So occasionally, it's time to sort of spruce things up. So that's what we're thinking. We'll give you more details. But this is hopefully a means by which we can reach out to folks in a more effective way. That's our desire. We're hoping, if everybody is agreeing that the Lord is in this, all of the renovations would be completed by February, it'd be nice if it's finished by December, who knows. But by February, because that's when Christianity Explored will begin again. So if you have friends that you think would benefit by coming and going through the course with us, exploring the basics of the Christian faith, keep that in mind. That's coming in February. You've got something to invite to. Another aspect that we are praying into this year is our the shepherding. So we as elders, you probably need to know this. Maybe you don't. But if you come to Hope and this is your home church, after it is apparent to us as elders that you're here, that you're going to worship here and you're plugged in here and this is where your spiritual home is going to be, we move you from the visitors list to the shepherding list, which we then try to find an elder who is in relationship with you so that we can begin to pray and watch over you and intentionally try to care for you. This year, one of our dreams is that we as elders, that there would be two of us who would be able to sit with every member of this church and ask you, how are you? How is work? How's life? How's your marriage? How can we minister to you? How can we help you? We want every one of us to be able to do that. If this is not your home church, or you've never told us, I want to be a member, would you please consider it? We will be offering a membership class very soon. But we have to start with those who are members. But we want to be able to sit with you and make sure that you're growing in the Lord. We're not coming with a big stick. We're going to come with open hands to say, how are you? How can we pray for you? What are the issues that you're facing? We know we're going to give an account before the Lord of how we shepherd this people. And membership is the process by which we know who we're responsible for and who we can love and pour into. So that's our goal. That's what we're dreaming will happen this year. It might take us a while. There's only five of us. So please pray for us. But that's what we're shooting for. Also this year, last year we tried a little experiment. We did a little Saturday morning seminar on the will of God. It was also a means for reaching out also for those who are coming and wanting to grow in the Lord. And that went over pretty well. We had about 35-ish or so people come. Some of you attended. I see some heads shaking. And this year we'd like to do that a couple more times, to have a little Saturday seminar on some relevant issues. Parenting, another one that came to my mind, is understanding Islam. So it would be a more intensive kind of study that would give us an opportunity to sit with a topic in a longer venue than what we typically have. So we're going to shoot and try to do a couple more of those. This another prayer request that I have for the upcoming year is that God would raise up a woman or two who would be willing to help us spearhead a ministry for the ladies of this church. Those of you who are passionate about reaching out to women, there are a handful of you, but we'd love to have one or two to be able to coordinate that. And that's one of the things that we're praying for. And then the last thing I will share is the new sermon series. So what are we going to move to into the fall? And there were a couple things that were on my mind. And as I look out towards the future, one of the things that I see intentionally happening more and more is the persecution of Christians. And so where would we be strengthened in the Bible? What book of the Bible speaks about persecution of Christians? And one is 1 Peter. And the other issue that it sort of comes upon my mind is, are we equipped to answer the questions of the issues that we're facing in our culture today? So I sat down, I took a look at the New York Times and the Boston Globe over about 3 days, and I just wrote, what are the headlines about? Wrote all these out, and what I saw was the first 15 chapters of Matthew. I was amazed. Jesus talks about this, he talks about that, he hits this, he hits that. So I asked the elders to pray, and my plan is to begin with Matthew. We're going to move through Matthew, hitting topics, I'll give you the syllabus, so to speak, next week. But so what? Jesus said what is the series title that I'm kind of thinking about. But it's looking particularly at the teachings of Jesus as they unfold through Matthew. And then later in the year, we might move into 1 Peter. But that's what I'm thinking where we're going. And the main reason is, I asked my kids, I said, about all the issues, and I had a list of about 15 or 18 things. And I said, which of the two would you guys want? And they said, can you do both, but do the Matthew one first, because I got questions about all this. And then do the one in 1 Peter, and the elders agreed. So hopefully this will be issues that you're talking about at work, that you're wrestling with in yourself and asking the questions of, how are Christians to understand things like divorce and marriage and pornography? And Ashley Madison is all over the place. What do we do with pastors and church leaders who are on the list? What's happening with our sexuality? What's gone wrong with our desires that we're running to and fro in order to get satisfied? What's going on in our lives? So those are the things that I'm thinking about for upcoming ministry year. So we stand at a conclusion of one ministry year looking out into the future. And we want to finish this year in prayer. And before I invite two of our elders to come up and pray for particularly those of us who serve the Lord inside the church, in glorifying him by teaching and serving in ways, we're going to have one elder to pray for that. There are those of us who are trying to glorify God outside the church, at work, at home, at school. Another elder is going to pray for that. I'm just struck this morning. Julie said to me, I have a friend who is dying of cancer. Paul, sitting here, getting ready to go to Texas tomorrow to be with his grandfather, who's dying of cancer. I just want to spend a minute or two and pray for these two requests. I'm going to miss you. I don't want you to go. But you need to go be with your grandfather. We're all facing issues that our life and death challenges. And we need the Lord, right? So let me pray, and then I'll invite Michael Bradford to come and pray, and Paul and Nance will come and pray. Father, I want to lift up Julie's friend to you, who has cancer and is struggling, knowing that the end is coming. And God, I pray particularly for Julie that you would give her the anointing of your Spirit. Would you please give her wisdom to know how to encourage this person to hope in you? I don't know if he knows you or not, Lord. God, I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit upon Julie in a particular way, that she could walk with her friend through these final days. And Father, I ask you to please put your hand upon Paul. I pray for Leilani as she's losing her father. I pray for Lupe, who's losing a husband. And God, the whole Simpson family. And God, would you bless Paul as he goes to Texas? Would you keep him safe? Would you let him be an encouragement? Would you strengthen him for all that you've called him to do? Let your anointing be upon him. And God, if there are others in this room who have friends who are struggling with end-of-life issues, Father, will you help us? Will you pour out your Spirit on us? Will you fill us with recalling to mind verses that we have memorized? And Holy Spirit, you help us in memory. So please bring these things to our minds. And I pray that our hope would be firmly grounded in you. And God, as we turn to prayer right now, just invite Michael and Paul to come on up. As we turn to a new ministry year, a new school year, we ask for your blessings. And I pray that you would hear the prayers of your people as we pray right now.
Father God, I thank you for the vision that we have in this community to glorify you by making a community of committed disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes an impact locally and around the world. And Lord, toward that end, I ask that you would have us love you wholeheartedly with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to enable that, Lord, I am so thankful that Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, you have sent forth your Spirit in our hearts. And I thank you for the manifestation of the Spirit in one or more ways in every one of your children who believes. Lord, I ask for the fulfillment of the exhortation that you have given to us, that as recipients of your Spirit, as recipients of your gifts, that we would indeed minister to one another, that we would be good stewards of the manifold grace that you have given to us. And specifically, Lord, here locally, I thank you for raising up elders, pastors, deacons, teachers, small group leaders, ministry group leaders, and others who lead in different capacities for the edification of your church. Lord, may that be fulfilled today and throughout this upcoming ministry year. But Father, specifically I ask that we would indeed trust in you with all of our hearts, that we would lean not on our understanding, but that in all of our ways you would direct our paths. And Lord, I also pray that as your sheep, again, your word would be fulfilled, that we would hear clearly your voice in all of the ways in which you've enabled us to serve, and that we would wholeheartedly follow you, that your kingdom would grow and prosper, and that the great name of Jesus would be magnified through this community.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you for blessing us last year. Lord, we give you thanks for this upcoming new year. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us who are here, who are outside taking your gospel, taking your light, and trying to impact the community, impact the workplace, impact the school that they go to. Lord, I pray a blessing upon them as they go with your Spirit. that you will make them strong. And as they pray and walk, that they will radiate your love and grace and power. Lord, let them be in their workplace like Joseph, full of holiness and competence, that they may stand before kings, not before mean men. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, like you said to the Israelites, as they follow your words, that you would make them head, not tail. Lord, I pray that your wisdom will be, as they ask for wisdom, that you will show them, you will give them wisdom to do whatever they needed to do in the school, in the workplace, and at home. As this church, this small church, will be impacted the world, Father, as we take your small light. And as we think about the world, we also pray for all our missionaries that we support. They're impacting in the places that they're working all across the globe. We also pray for all the people who are suffering in Europe, those who are looking for homes that they have left behind, and so they may find you, they may find rest in you, Father, that we may be able to pray and have a vision that affects the world, that changes the world. Lord, I pray that as we go from this church, that we're not going alone. We're with you, and we are with your Spirit, and then we have the authority to change. We can pray, and our fight is not across flesh and blood, but principalities and authorities. And we have your Spirit, and we have your armor. Help us to go there with confidence, and help us to go there with boldness, and help us to go there because you commanded us. And may we do this in your way, with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray.